Let's face it, the giving strategies that worked 10 years ago are totally different from the strategies that work today. In this conversation, we're going to unpack some of the most innovative ways that your church can level up your giving. Let's talk about it. You're listening to the Reach Right Podcast, the show dedicated to helping your church reach more people and grow. Well, hey guys, I'm Thomas.
And I'm Ian.
And today we are talking about innovative church fundraising strategies here for 2024. Should be a good conversation. My church is right in the middle of totally revamping our entire online giving system and process and strategy. And so it kind of brought this to top of mind for us and figured it'd be a good conversation for us to have here today.
Yeah, absolutely. Very important topic for every and any church out there. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So we can just kind of dig in, I guess. We have six, tips for you to kind of share things that we're seeing work right now when it comes to online fundraising, just fundraising in general. And so the first one is just really nailing your digital giving platform, making sure you have that. Yeah. And I imagine that just about everybody that's listening to this podcast, you probably have a way to do digital giving. I was at our council meeting just the other day, and we were talking about the breakdown of our digital versus physical giving at our church. Mm. And it's over, like this last month was over 75% of our gifts came in online versus under 25% coming in a physical form in the buckets, and we are still a pass the plate kind of church. And so that was surprising. It's kind of forcing us to rethink things.
Yeah.
Because so much of our giving invitation is towards the physical act of giving, but really we're missing out on speaking to 75% of our donations, which are coming through online sources. So really nailing this is so important. I imagine your church, that's how you give, right, Ian, at your church?
Digitally? Yeah, absolutely. It's funny. You made me think of that. Our statistic is actually 90. What our church throws out there when we talk about this on Sundays is that 90% of ours is online. Wow. And we stopped passing the buckets is what we had before, not plates. Yeah. But we do have
so
giving.
Much? Is that why you guys do buckets and not plates? Just a plate couldn't hold it all?
Well, yeah. And the buckets, people were just grabbing the money out of it. No. No, and we do have giving kiosks. We do have that.
Right.
And then we have QR codes that lead to our online giving and all of that. But no, over 90% is. And this is common for a lot of churches. Obviously. Yeah.
I imagine there's like a Dropbox or something at the back of your church, right? Where you could leave a
that.
Check or
yes, there. Yes, there is. Yes, we still have that as an option. And yes, I'm sure that's used. An older gentleman fell off his walker when he was trying to put it in there, but he's okay. That's a joke.
Okay,
so,
good.
So anyway.
Glad to hear it. I think it's just so important to get this right, and there's no shortage of companies out there. We've done several other videos, and I'll link to our most recent one here where we review which online giving providers we think are the best for most churches. But, you know, in hindsight, I decided to go in a different direction from any of the companies we mentioned in that video when we did it at our church here just recently.
Yeah.
I'm an executive pastor at our church, and we decided to work with a company called Overflow that focuses on digital giving, but specifically on asset giving and some of those kinds of things.
Yeah.
So capabilities to give stock, cryptocurrencies, that kind of stuff. And we just thought it'd be a good fit for our organization. Not sponsored or anything by them. Isn't a plug for them at all, but just kind of in full disclosure, we have a video about it, but the company I chose is not in there if you're wondering why, if you see our website or anything.
Well, I'm sure they're glad you mentioned it though.
Absolutely. It's so important you nail this. And so whether you work with Tithely or Overflow or through Planning Center or Pushpay,
whoever,
do you know who your church uses?
Oh, you would ask that. I utilize it every time I tithe and give. I don't know. Actually,
it's not one of those ones we just mentioned. You don't know.
It probably is. Yes.
Yeah. I saw a stat recently.
Oh, I know who it is. They use SecureGive.
SecureGive. That's surprising. There's nothing wrong with it.
There's nothing wrong. But you're right. That one's been out there for a while. Isn't in our top list, I don't think. So yeah.
Yeah. There was a time a few years ago when PushPay they had, I think, like 93 of the 100 largest churches in the country were using PushPay. I would guess that that's gone down a little bit, but I don't know. But I do know that these online giving providers are very sticky. Once you're in it, it's very hard to change, yeah, as I'm experiencing right now, rolling out a new online giving provider. But anyway, the whole point is you have to nail this platform, choose the right platform, get it on your website, give people opportunities. And I'd say even on Sunday mornings when you're talking about giving, remember most people are giving online. So don't make put money in the bowl or plate or bucket the main thing, but actually invite people to use their phones and set up recurring giving, doing those kinds of things. So
that's good. So getting into that, this is kind of changing gears as far as the, so we talked about platform, nail that first. And then there's the types of fundraising and giving. And the and this second point here is for crowdfunding. And does that, it's kind of funny, you know, we asked the question, does that make sense for a church to do? Well, you know, you think of missions, you know, missionaries that can set up a GoFundMe. There's Kickstarter, all of that. So if it's one of those things to where it is a big, if it's a different kind of cause maybe or something like that, it makes sense to use crowdfunding and not just point someone to your giving provider, right? So
yeah, really a good thing. And I've heard a lot of good things about GiveSendGo, which is a faith-based kind of version of GoFundMe. I hear their rates are much better on those kinds of things too. So there's just something that kind of has that social network effect about it where people can see what other people are giving. You know, in some ways I have some reservations about it because when we give as Christians, we're supposed to not let what the left hand know what the right hand is doing.
Right.
Those kinds of things. And those are very much about letting everybody on earth know what you're doing. Of course you can give anonymously, but there is something social about it. So I have some confliction about it, I'd say, but I have seen some churches kind of do big project fundraising, doing that through kind of a crowdfunding strategy. And I've seen some results on that. So if you do or have tried crowdfunding for your church or a missions movement or something like that, let us know down in the comments how that's worked for you. I'd love to hear kind of some feedback on that. It'd be a good good conversation, maybe a future episode around those kinds of things. So next one is what we called it in the actual post is like subscription. Think of it as like subscription and membership type models for fundraising. But I want to, obviously in churches, we don't really use that kind of term. Like you don't have a, well, there's membership in most churches. You don't have membership dues, right? That's not how, it's not like a gym where like, you know, it's $99 is kind of the entry level church membership.
Right.
And then if you want to go up to the platinum package, it's, you know, it's, it doesn't work that way with churches, but there is so much to be learned from this. You know, we here at Reach Right, we operate a subscription based company. So almost all of our products and our sales are coming through recurring subscriptions, whether they be the way we help churches manage the Google grant or website hosting or any of it. We have a few products like logo design and actual custom web design that aren't subscriptions, but everything else is kind of a subscription for us. And I can say, I know as a company that that is enormously beneficial to know kind of roughly what kind of income we're working with on a month-to-month basis, because everybody is basically on a subscription and we know how much we have coming in every month before the month even starts. I can tell you that most churches don't operate that way and our finances tend to fluctuate much more. And we can mitigate that by helping people kind of overcome that hump and start to automate or subscribe to some kind of a give it, a regular giving method. Every online giving platform has this now. So I would make it a point whenever you talk about giving in your church, your tithes and offerings time, to talk about it from a automated recurring giving standpoint, because healthy churches, I think, have the majority of their income come in on an automated schedule, that it's something that's almost dependable in that way. And if you're maybe new to this, or maybe you're not a pastor of a church, this might seem very business-like or business-oriented. Forgive me for that. I'm just talking about the realities of pastoring and leading a church and salaries and buildings and mortgages you have to pay and all that stuff. So having this set up that way is super beneficial. And I think when people are really discipled and taught about giving, they're happy to do it. We've seen that at our church. And if it's not something you focused on, I want to highly encourage you to really dig in and start to talk more and more about automated or like making your people's gifts recurring, encouraging them to do that.
It could be like one thing that popped in my mind is, you know, how obviously scripture teaches giving your first fruits. If you get paid on a certain date of each month or dates, you know, you're, if it's automated, you're able to be consistent and give the Lord your first fruits right then and there. And so, you know, keeping people disciplined, making it easy also for them to not have to remember. A lot of benefits to throw out there with it. So yeah, well, this next one's good.
Do you automate, Ian, or do you go ahead and actually do a gift each time personally?
Well, you know, I'm paid a little differently with and people, you know, get paid differently out there. Sure. So for me, it's harder to do the automated thing. But I think if someone is on just a flat type of salary or something, they're not getting paid in a kind of a few different outlets, then yeah. But
it's okay. You don't need to, there's no guilt here.
I'm just explaining it. No, we're good.
So you would if you were paid regularly, you feel like, but because your compensation fluctuates, that's why it's easier for you to just to kind of on a certain day of the month or whatever, you just go ahead and do it.
I got to do different math, based on things. So, but it's a good question. So, well, the next one is cause-based fundraising. So is there a certain cause that resonates in your church community? So this is often effective because, you know, we have the usuals, the tithe, the offerings, maybe missions, key ministries, but is there a cause? Is there a, and this kind of bleeds to the next one. I mean, I would just say it just depends on what it is, but is there a homeless shelter that's maybe a part of your homeless outreach ministry? There's one example, if you've had this homeless outreach and now there's a shelter arm to that, that's a specific cause to help the homeless. That's another idea as far as fundraising to think of. Yeah.
One thing that I've found is that it's easier in general to raise funds for specific causes other than just the general church fund. Obviously, that'll be your largest fund is your general church fund, your tithes and offerings, those kinds of things. That's where you want the most of the income for your church to go, because you have the most flexibility with that. You can use it for whatever, you know, your church council or board sees fit. I find that when you're asking for people to step up and give towards a cause, it's usually more motivating to people. Whatever that cause may be. And so that's the advantage of this. So with caution, I'd say, because what I have experienced is sometimes when you are cause focused, people will start to pivot some of their giving from your general funds into causes, and then you have less kind of freedom over where that money is spent in those areas. So something to be cautious about, but I think as long as people in your church are discipled well and they know the difference between kind of an offering and their general tithes, or giving towards a cause and giving towards the church's general fund, I think usually that will be something that's helpful in raising funds for your causes. Like you were saying, the next one is like it. It's kind of community focused fundraising.
Right.
And I think this is really special is that this is when you take your eyes off of what's happening inside of your four walls and do fundraising for a specific cause outside of your church that you can kind of rally behind. So right now, case in point, our church, we meet in a public high school. That's just kind of customary here in Hawaii, is that all buildings and land is way too expensive. And so very few churches have their own property. So a lot of us, just about every public school has a church meeting in it at some point. So ours is a public high school. And part of our primary missions output locally here is what we call our Kaiser beautification team. One of our things we say is we've adopted our high school as kind of our campus. And so what we do is we have these beautification projects. Right now, we've partnered with local businesses to do I'm talking about a lot of Hawaiian stuff here today, but we have something called a huli huli chicken sale, which is huli is the Hawaiian word for flip. So huli huli means flip flip. It's a rotisserie chicken sale is what it is.
Yeah, okay.
If you only huli once, it'll burn your chicken. So it's a huli huli chicken sale. And so we have that going on right now, and it's been a huge success because it's not, hey, you know, buy a chicken and help our church, you know, pay our youth pastor or something like that. But it's buy a chicken. All of the proceeds go towards adopting Kaiser High School, making it something that is, we have this beautification team where we're building park benches all around the school and nice areas for students and teachers to hang out in. And we've just kind of adopted it. And when we do this, it's really easy to get local businesses to partner in and say, yeah, I'd love to do that. I'll do a Huli Huli chicken match or something like that, where they can partner with us and help us to raise thousands and thousands of dollars for these kinds of projects on our local high school here. So there's a lot of opportunities. So be praying about what that is for your church.
Yeah, all sorts of different things. You know, one that came to mind, I've heard a church say this a while back, is that they were building a skate park, you know, just for like at-risk youth, or just after, to keep kids out of trouble after school, or just because that was a rising trend in their area, kids skateboarding. And that's something that, you know, someone doesn't have to come to the church with, but if your church is around that and helping youth have a safe place to go and an alternative to doing bad things, then yeah, there's all sorts of ideas, like you said. Yeah. And well, last but not least, engage the younger generation with your fundraising and giving efforts. This, you know, means utilize social media, you know, utilize TikTok, utilize Instagram, you know, put the word out there. We've said this before. You know, millennials, Gen Z and down, you know, they love to get behind causes that are bigger than themselves. All the research has been done on that. I think some churches maybe get apprehensive. Hey, we want to reach the next generation, so we don't want to talk about giving too much. No, you know, don't be afraid to do that. If it's a cause they're behind, and not just that, but a noble cause, and if it's put out there well, don't be afraid to engage, the next generation with your campaign, your giving campaigns.
I went to a worship concert. It was a Brandon Lake and
You told me
Brandon Lake concert a couple of weeks ago, and in between, you know, part of the worship set, I guess there was kind of an intermission, if you will, and there was a guy who came from World Vision that was there, and you know, did a spiel, I guess, if you will, kind of inviting people to give, and it was a pretty hard sell, I think, in some ways, and I found that you know, older millennials and young Gen Xers and mid Gen Xers like you, and like you know, even like boomers and those people, I could see them kind of like rolling their eyes a little bit at this, because it was a pretty hard sell to adopt a child, and we have a child we've adopted already that we've been a part of with that, and so we love that, but we really love World Vision's cause and the things that they do there, but it was amazing to see that they invited people to raise their hand if they wanted to adopt or sponsor a child right there that night. Yeah. And I looked around, and so many young people were the ones that sponsored them. They would sponsor them that way. And so it was by and large, it was people that were 35 and under, I would say, were the ones that were raising their hands and excited to do that. So I think that, yes, do boomers and Gen Xers have more money than Gen Z? Mm-hmm. Will they be your biggest donors? Probably. But I think equipping people and discipling them on giving from a very young age, even with my own kids, I have my children, I encourage them to practice tithing, and it's something that is really, you ingrain in people at a young age, and they realize that all their money is God's and he lets us keep 90% of it, you know, these kinds of ideas. I think it really helps them overcome that, and it turns them into lifelong givers.
So it's good.
Pretty cool stuff. But anyway, hope this has been helpful to you. If it's been something that has helped you, or if you have any other ideas that you'd like to share with the Reach Right family, drop us a comment down below. Thanks so much, guys, for being a part of the Reach Right family, and we'll see you next time.
See ya.